This is Jordan, and you're listening to the Code 7 Podcast Network.
Warning. This episode contains the three A's of podcasting: adult content, adult language, and awesomeness. You've been warned.
Welcome to Within the Trenches, true stories from the 911 dispatchers who live them.
Hey, what's going on? This is Ricardo with the Code 7 Podcast Network, and this is going to be episode 301 of Within the Trenches, true stories from the 911 dispatchers who live them. This episode, as always, is supported by InDigital, a leader in next-gen core services, and we're recording live from the vendor hall here at the 2019 IPTA Conference in Springfield, Illinois. And my guest today are Pat and Edna, and they're telecommunicators with Chicago OEM. How's it going?
How's it going? It's going well.
Yeah. Oh, man, this is going to be fun. I cannot wait. So is this the first time that both of you have been to the here at the conference?
Yes. Yes. This is the very first, but not last.
Yeah, that's good. That is excellent. So you were here yesterday, of course. We talked a little bit during the vendor reception. And then you were both at the keynote this morning as well. How was that for the both of you to hear that story about Denise Amberlee and having Nathan up there, you know, telling this story? It's a story that he has gone all over the place to share. And, you know, he took a horrific situation and, you know, turned it around to help 911 dispatchers and to be better in the job that they do. So there has been a good outcome out of tragedy.
Yes. So, how was it? For me, extremely emotional, extremely, because the stories and the things that we go through, you can tell your story and you can tell it a million times because you've lived it. But to hear that story, it brings back the things that you've gone through and you can release. Very touching, very moving, and a learning experience.
For sure.
For sure.
How about you, Edna? How was it for you?
The same, because I think some of the people he named, Liability Millie and other characters, I can identify with some of those where we work, you know, and some of the things that they did that we know that we have experienced as well. It was gut-wrenching. But like Amy and Pat said, releasing, you know, therapeutic for him as well as for us.
Right, of course. Yeah. Now, what are some of the things that that you've experience so far that it's going to be something that you end up taking back? Because there's a lot of things at this conference that, you know, and we kind of talked about it yesterday as well. You go through and you see all the industry partners, all this technology that's coming out, and kind of makes you think about what's coming, you know. And for years, Next Generation 911 has been building and building and building and building, and you're really dealing with it now, you know. A lot of industry partners with their technology of like videos and pictures and stuff. So what have you seen here in the vendor hall that is like something that's really, that you'll end up taking back to share with those that you work with?
I think that so far my experience here is that everyone in my communication center should come. Mm-hmm. I think we all should experience this at least once. There's so much technology here, so much knowledge here, so much experience, you know, from industry techs to the people that are here, you know. And it's moving so fast. Like you say, this is the next generation coming on now, and either get on board or not.
Right. You know? Yeah. Because it is changing fast. Yes. Now, let's go back in time a little bit, because I want to learn more about the both of you. So how did you get into dispatching? Whichever one of you would like to start.
I'll let the telecommunicator of the year.
That's right.
Thank you. I'm honored, very privileged. And how did I get started? Well, my aunt was a police officer. Mm-hmm. So she told me and other family members, neighbors, they're going to open up a new 911 center. I suggest that you all apply. At that time, I was working in the private industry. Mm-hmm. It's like, no way. They let me travel. Why should I want to give up that? And then she said, well, crime is forever. I said, oh, you're right. So I thought about it, and I went and applied because she stayed on me. Go apply, put it in, did you? So I finally told her, yes, ma'am, I did. They called, I went. Did I know what I was getting into? No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
But it is one of the best, I won't say best jobs, but it is such an honor to be a dispatcher.
Now, how long ago was that now?
September 1st, 1995.
1995.
1995.
So you got in there, and she was absolutely right, because I would tell people as well, you know, it's job security. There's always going to be an emergency, or there's always going to be someone who thinks, hold my beer, and then and go do something, you know, and what usually what ends up happening is they end up calling one of you. Yeah. You know, and then they deal with that as well. Mm-hmm. So yeah, exactly right. That's job security there. And you got in there. So then, you know, did you do a sit along or anything at that time?
As far as a ride along with the officers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Well, ride alongs, of course. But before you got in there to train or anything, did you sit into dispatch to kind of see what it was like?
Not at all.
Oh, man. So you just jumped right in.
Jumped in.
Lion's Den.
All I said, they had an interview. They gave you a few questions. You had to make sure you knew what they wanted from you. And that was it. Got the call that you are in. But other than that, to just walk you around or anything before you took the job and help.
Wow.
Exactly.
Yeah. Geez. It's kind of like me when I started, when I very first started dispatching, I go into the small police department and I see my trainer take a phone call, and then he goes, all right, you're next.
And just like that.
Just like that. Yeah. And I started chuckling, and I said, you know, are you serious? And he goes, I am serious. And the look on his face, I was like, ooh. I'm like, all right. And that was my jump into it. Luckily, my first phone call was, I think it was a hang up or something. It wasn't anything. So, but that's what it was. It's like, you're next. Like, all right. This is how this is going to be. So then, Edna, how about you? How did you get into dispatching?
Well, I worked as a traffic control aide, and after being hit by a car, I knew I couldn't do that job anymore. So I prayed, and I wanted something different. So a coworker told me about the 911 center. They were hiring. So I went down, I applied, took the test, and I was hired first as a call taker. I think our head here was a dispatcher, hired as a dispatcher, same year, June of 95. And my first call, we didn't do like you. We didn't jump in. We had a long training process.
Yeah.
And I didn't think I could do it. I didn't think I had the temperament for it. One of the ladies that trained me, one of the first calls I took was a kid playing on the phone, but I didn't know it. But her experience, she did know it. He was calling and saying his father was having a heart attack, and I panicked. I freaked out. I didn't know what to do. I was afraid. And she got in, and she says, are you playing on the phone? He chuckled and he hung up. I said, oh, my God, how did you know that? As kids, we didn't do that when we were growing up. So I didn't know that kids did that. So that I thought, oh, I can't do this job, because I wouldn't be able to tell the real or non-real.
Right. No, my parents would have beat my ass.
Yes, absolutely.
Or at the very least, they wouldn't have done that. They would have. My father would have given me this look of I'm going to destroy you.
Yes. You're going to get it.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, we had, so this is a funny thing, because we remind my dad of this, and he denies it, but then he'll start laughing and he'll say, yeah, well, hey, I had to say something. So we would be, you know, acting up or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he would say, do you want a happy birthday? Which meant, do you want me to spank you? Like, like chill out.
So cute.
Yeah. Well, there was one time we're in a restaurant and he says that, and the waiter comes, or the waitress comes up, and she goes, oh, it's your birthday. And I'm thinking in my head, no, I'm going to get spanked here.
Right, right.
You have no idea. Yeah.
It's a family thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So then your training and everything, you know, that helped you out with that. Kind of a similar situation that I dealt with. It wasn't with a child playing on the phone. It was a domestic situation. And I had somebody that I was training at the time. And this person that I was training wasn't old enough to know what a pulse sounds like from a rotary dial.
Oh,
so, you know, she had come in, you know, touch tone and all that other stuff.
Right.
So she didn't know what that was. And I remember I was listening with her and I hear that tone and all, and the pulse rather. And she goes to hang up. And I said, no. I said, don't hang up, because the person wasn't there anymore. Like, you couldn't hear them. And I said, don't hang up yet. And she goes, what? Why? I said, did you hear that? Did you hear that like pulse sound? And she goes, I mean, I did, but I thought it was just like the phone, you know, whatever. I don't know what it was. And I said, just hold on a minute. And we waited. And then you hear on the line, the person pick up the phone and try to dial 911 again. And I said, say something, say something. And she goes, I'm here. I'm here. You know, this is 911. I'm still here. And the person gets on the line is like, thank you. You know, and we went through it. And then at the end, after they had already gotten out there, the call was over. She goes, how did you know that? And I said, well, one, I'm older than you. and I just, I remember having this rotary dial phone and I would call, like my friends would call me or I would call my friends. We wouldn't prank 911, but we would prank each other, calling each other. And then we would just stay on the line. And then, you know, until one of their parents got on, like, get off my phone. Like, oh, sorry. I'm sorry. Don't tell my dad. But it was because of that, just the same way as you, Pat, with that experience. You know, you hear that. And I told her, I said, it's a rotary dial. I said, it's not the same as the other. If you keep one line open, they can't call or anything because you haven't hung up. And just luckily, those people happened to have a rotary dial or a type of phone that had the pulse instead of the touch tone. So same way with the experience there. So then what was it like for you in the beginning? Either one of you, you know, was it overwhelming when you first went in there? I mean, so this is 95, right? And how crazy that the both of you started the same year and everything, you know, going in. What are you looking at? You go into the dispatch center, you're starting out. What is it that you're looking at? Because for me, there were like six screens, you know, that I'm looking at. How many screens are you looking at? What is it that you're seeing, for those who are listening, to kind of picture it?
Was it three screens?
Three screens.
And then we had the other screen where we ran the plates. It was a separate screen and a separate person sat there, right?
Yes. Because then when we started, there were two dispatchers and a call taker in the middle. So you were set to different zones. And that's how it was set up. It's since then, in the new building, it's bigger. You have call takers on one side, dispatchers on the other side, fires on another side. So everything is a little bit different now, but still, it works the same.
Yeah, it does.
But as far as the screaming, was it intimidating? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Today, it's absolutely intimidating on some days.
Yeah.
No, seriously, if you're working a busy zone, and even not everywhere, let me take that back. I tell people now, there's not a zone that's not busy.
Right.
The city is busy. There's unfortunate crime all over, not in one central place, as they say on the news. It's everywhere.
Right.
So it's just a matter of you having control and you being at calm voice. That's what it all boils down to, even in a call taker. And my hats go off to the call takers, because I tell them there are unsung heroes.
Yeah.
Because they get it first.
Right.
You get it just to disseminate. But it just can be crazy. It's just a matter of how you handle it. And it's every day.
Exactly. It doesn't stop.
Once
you take that call, you know, afterwards, it doesn't stop. It continues going and going and going. And, you know, people don't understand that when they call 911, if they happen to get put on hold, it's not because we're taking our sweet time or we don't want to talk to them. It's because their emergency is not the only emergency that's going on.
And you try to stay on the phone with them to get all the information you can. But sometimes you have to, you know, rush it along, you know, to get all the information you can to get them the service they need as quickly as possible. And to get on to that next call.
Right, of course.
Like you say, it doesn't stop.
Now, how about you, though? Was it overwhelming for you as well when you had first started? Or was it just...
It was, you know, as a call taker, it was after I got used to it, after that first call, it became easier and easier, you know. But you talk to the people, try to calm them down and get, like you said, all the information you can. As a dispatcher, that was a whole different overwhelming process. Because you look at all these professionals who've been doing it, and they just, it's so smooth with it, you know, they don't miss a beat.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my goodness, I'll never be like that.
I was the same way going. So I had experience going into the last dispatch center that I worked at, the one that, you know, in the area that I grew up in. And I remember walking in there and seeing the dispatchers there, because we did everything. So on one side, we had phones. We had our main phones, but, you know, we also did EMS, fire, and everything from those two consoles. And then on the other side, we had main law enforcement radio and then our lean or NCIC part where we ran everything.
Right.
So then we had it like that for 12 hours. And I remember walking in and seeing all these screens and them just going to town, doing all this stuff, eating at the same time, going crazy. I'm like, holy hell, how am I going to learn this? Like,
exactly.
I've got experience, but, you know, the small police department is nothing like this. The call volume is completely different as well. Mm-hmm. And it was nuts. So just like, you know, the both of you, I can relate and being, you know, overwhelmed in the beginning. And you're right. You know, it does get easier. You know, some of the situations, you know, they're all different. The incidents are similar, but, you know, there's never a call that's the same.
Exactly.
And it gets crazy.
It does.
So then, what was your training like then going to this process? Because the way you were saying, you know, unlike mine, I did end up having like a 40-hour beginner's dispatcher's course that they sent me to like 2 weeks later. Oh. But that whole time I had been doing stuff.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, I've got to learn the geography and I've got this,
that was another
this
thing. Yeah,
enormous radio that I had to, I'm pretty sure it was a Motorola one. And I had to type in like 5 digits in order to make the tones go off.
Oh.
And, you know, of course, they had the number there so that we could do it quickly. But I thought, do all the radios look like this? But mine was the last dispatch center I was at. It was like all on a computer screen and stuff. So touch screen, a lot different.
Much easier.
Yeah. So, what was the training process like for you guys in the beginning? Because it was the way you said it was a lengthy one. Mm-hmm. Did they have you going through phases or how did it work?
Yes.
I came in as a dispatcher, so I had to learn the call taking side. Mm-hmm. And then dispatch. So it was a phase, and I think it was a 6-month process.
Yes, it's a long,
Yeah. So I started in September, actually went onto the floor, as far as we call it, field training or on the job training or with your core cadre at the time, or trainer. Mm-hmm. And I think that could have been another maybe month, maybe 6 weeks. And then you were on your own. So the total process, it could have been about 6 months.
Wow. And then you went through similar, you guys started the same year. Just how many months apart then?
Probably about 6 months. I came in June as a call taker.
Uh-huh.
I didn't go into dispatching until a year later at that time. I think we had to do 18 months or 12 months as a call taker before you can be a dispatcher. So she came right in as a dispatcher.
Wow.
So I went through that, what is it like, 12 weeks of training for call taking. And then the next year, the 6 weeks of, or nine, no, 12 weeks of dispatch training. So it was long.
Wow.
They did simulations and, you know, you don't think you're going to make it through the training.
Right.
You're thinking, oh my God, I can't do this.
I was the same way.
So much coming at you at one time.
I remember going home and telling my wife once, like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this because it's pretty crazy. Mm-hmm. But I stuck with it and here we are.
They mastered it. Yes.
Yeah.
Easy breezy. Yes.
I'm glad. I'm glad we all did it.
Yeah, of course. Now, do you remember your first call by any chance? Like, do you remember, or even some of the earlier calls that you thought, man, what did I sign myself up for?
First call, I don't remember. I just know that as a call taker, you try to get as much as you can. You have to befriend them, calm them down.
Of course.
And to be perfectly honest, between dispatching and call taking, I prefer the call taker. I really do, because I connect.
Right.
I'll calm that mother down. Just have a Pepsi. That's my favorite line. Now go have a Pepsi. And I really do. I really like to connect with people.
That's good.
I'm a dispatcher. That's what I do. They say pretty good, but
she's really good.
We're all.
We'll get to that part here in a moment. Right now, what about you, Edna? Any earlier calls or?
Well, that little boy playing on the phone was my very first call.
Yeah.
I thought would change my career. I had a call. This was a funny call where the person was intoxicated and they were roasting a pig at some backyard barbecue. And he said the pig had gotten down and was running around biting people. So when the police got there, they don't know what it was a roasting there, but they couldn't find the pig. So they don't know if the pig actually did get down. They couldn't find the pig.
What? Pig's like, I'm out of here. Like,
we
where's Wilbur?
They found a drunk guy in the family, but no pig. So
wow.
That was so one of the
nobody had any idea.
They hid that pig or something.
Oh man, I was like, yeah, did you eat it already? Right, or what happened? Right, you didn't even save me a sandwich or something?
Yeah.
Oh man.
But I think any calls with children and older people are the ones that tug hard at me.
Right.
You know, or children, or there was one call where someone had walked into another police station and told them that he had killed someone and left her in the trunk of a car. That jurisdiction called us and told us to go and look at this place and find this person came in, they were covered in blood and said they did this. True enough, that person was in the trunk of that car.
Wow.
All cut up in a suitcase. So stuff Jeez. Like that sticks with me. Yeah.
Yep, yeah.
Oh, of course. There's, oh man.
So many.
Now, Pat, how about you? You know, is there any calls that stick with you?
There's so many. I've had one where at one point I was taking calls and it was a stolen car. So they had, I think the family actually had called to say if we had found it. So I said, well, ma'am, give me the plate. Let me see and I'll let you know. So, no, take that back. I apologize. There was a citizen that called and said there's a car sitting on the lot next to our home and it's been sitting there. So I got the plate. I ran it, came back stolen. So I went to the zone. And I, you know, told them if they find it, let me know, because what's connected to it is the missing person. So I called the family, told them that they had found the car. And she said, well, have you all found my father? I said, not that I'm aware, ma'am, but what I'll do is make sure that they try to check whatever they can. And if there's anything that comes up, I'll let you know. Or I'll have them call you immediately. Found out later, told the dispatchers at the time. So when they sent the officers, they did pop the trunk, and the family members. And it was an elderly guy.
Yeah.
So like I said, between that, my own family that was shot.
Right.
I have so many stories. We had one car parked in the alley, and the shift before had rolled a ticket. It was snowing. So citizens continued to call. And I told one of the officers on days, I said, would you please go back? Because the citizens are continuing to call. They say no one ever parks here. And I've been over there, but I'm going to go back just for you. He went over. He tugged at the door. Body on the front seat. Mm-hmm. And because I had that other experience, it was something mm-hmm. in me that wanted to just made mm-hmm. me, just please go back. And
mm-hmm. he did. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I stepped away, came back. Young lady I was working with, she said, Pat, there's another body. That was two bodies. I said, you know what? It's not over. They're going to find somebody else. They popped the trunk of that car. Three bodies.
Wow.
Jeez.
The sad part was I was supposed to go up to school with a family member regarding her daughter. She had been experiencing some soothing. She was like, Pat, you got to come up because she'll listen to you. I called her. I said, I can't make it. I told her, you know, kind of what happened. She said, my friend's brother is missing.
Oh, boy.
Ends up being her friend's brother, one of the three in the car.
Wow.
Oh, jeez.
Yes. So it's many stories that we could share.
Yeah, for sure. Man. Yeah. And working where you work, how many people do you have working at a time? Because I can imagine there's a lot.
About 70, I think, because we have 13 zones. And each zone has two dispatchers. So we usually have about 25, 30 call takers.
Wow.
And that's just on the police side. Then we have the citywide, which handles other responsibilities. And that's about 4 to 6 people.
Jeez. Okay, so you're sitting at your consoles. Do you ever just stand up and just kind of look around?
Yeah.
And just see everyone? Because in my head,
yeah.
That's what I picture, you know, being in the middle of everyone and then standing up and just kind of looking at, you know, at everybody who's there working and stuff. So that's a lot of people. I mean, but it's also a huge area, a big city.
It is. Very big city.
Oh, man, I can't imagine how busy you are.
I'm going to say this. Because we are there often,
mm-hmm.
we're a dysfunctional family.
Yes.
And that's the great thing that helps us get through everything. Mm-hmm. Because if any one of us are having a crisis, our family, we all come together.
Right.
No matter what we may have said to each other the day before.
Right.
We come together. as one, and that
well-oiled machine.
Yes.
We are there for each other in more ways than one.
Yeah, it's amazing because there would be times where I'd be working and, you know, somebody would be just in a bad mood, or I'd be with two people who really didn't get along. Mm-hmm. But when it hit the fan, mm-hmm. everybody's working and working and doing what we're supposed to be doing. And it was like nothing ever happened.
Yeah.
And it's amazing like that. Now, I want to, we're getting close on time here because they're going to close us in here in a moment. But I want to hear, Pat, about... You've got an award that you're getting here pretty soon.
Yes.
And you are the Dispatcher of the Year. So how did this all come about?
That's a very good question. Well, my wonderful director apparently nominated me. I had no idea.
That would be Martin Doyle.
Martin Doyle. Love him. Fabulous. He is one that had inspired me in my very first years there. Mm-hmm. And he came to me one morning and he put a letter beside me. I'm dispatcher. And I'm looking at him like, what do you want? So I picked it up and I read it. And I'm reading, unit coming in? What did you need, officer? Give me a moment. And that's all I can say. What the?
Yeah.
So he told me that way. And I said, are you kidding me? And I said, Who? I didn't. He said, it's well deserved.
Yeah.
So I am honored. I am very, very honored. And 25 years later, here I am.
That's
the young
amazing.
Lady that was saying to herself, me leave the private sector and they put me on a plane every chance they get. Look at me now.
That's right.
This is her natural calling. She's so kind. She remembers everyone's birthday. She'll bring you flowers. And if she finds out that it's your birthday, on her break, she's running out to get flowers. She brings us treats every morning.
Man, I could go work with you with you ladies then.
She is wonderful. Very thoughtful.
Yeah, but we're all thoughtful. And I tell them all the time, I said, one thing's for certain, there's nobody that is no more or less important.
We're
all superstars.
That's right.
We're all superstars. And I say that all the time. No one outshines anyone. We are all there for a reason, and we all do it well.
Now, was there a specific call that that was used during this process?
I have no clue.
No?
Her zone, all the calls are... At a 10 or above. They're all...
Oh, man.
They're all...
So it could be anything.
Absolutely.
That's what she has. She sits in one of those places that never stops.
Wow.
And when she does her, what we call simulcast, when she puts it out of a citywide, mm-hmm. something major that's happening, she never misses a beat. So smooth and easy. And, you know, she controls her air like the queen that she is.
Aw.
That's just it. I have my moments. Trust me. I have had a few slips.
We all do.
Yes, there's a 10-1 button, and I've gone across and said, this is some bull. And the supervisors come running. And I'm like, blame it on my head, guys, not my heart.
Right. Right. You know, we had an older radio system, and the button that you would press to go over the air mm-hmm. would stick sometimes.
Oh, yes.
And you would hear us just... Mm-hmm. Like slapping the button real hard. And then when we finally got it to unkey, an officer would always come up and say, is everything all right up there?
Right.
Like, dude, you know that if we're doing this, it's because this stupid thing is stuck. And sometimes, you know, there was one time I was talking about paying bills or something. Mm-hmm. And then I see a message pop up and I look over and then I keep talking and I look again and I look up and I see that it's in red. I'm like, oh, it's still on.
Right.
And I've said, sorry.
Yes. Right. What else? What can you say, right?
Yeah.
It's not personal.
Well, I am so glad that I got a chance to meet you and to learn more about you and hear your stories and how you started out and everything from there. And I look forward to the banquet tomorrow as you get your award. And I'm pretty sure they're going to end up saying everything that came up. From my experience, they say, you know, if there's a call involved or whatever with the nomination. Mm-hmm. So it is going to be... an excellent night for you, and thank you both for the job that you do and everything. It was excellent having you on here. As we go into the wrap up of this episode, what are some of the things? And I kind of asked this earlier, more so about the technology part, but what are some of the things from the classes that you're going to, whether it be for health and wellness or anything like that, that you want to take back to your dispatch center and share with them?
As Edna said earlier, everyone should come if they have an opportunity to come to this just for the learning experience. it's just great. I'm so excited now because I kept saying, I'm not going to spring. It can bring it to me. But I am so glad that I had this opportunity to meet and greet and see
people like yourself.
Yes.
You know,
oh, thank you.
The different companies that are here, they're so knowledgeable in their product, mm-hmm. you know. So this has been a great experience.
Very.
Awesome. Well,
and
again,
all of the nice gifts we got.
Yeah, there you go. That's good as well.
Our swag.
But it has been a pleasure and honor.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Thank you both for being on. This was a lot of fun. And for those who are listening, if you have any comments, questions, or you want to be a guest on the show, you can email us. And that is wttpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter. That is @91podcast. You can like us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/withinthetrenchespodcast. This episode is, as always, is supported by Indigital Leader Next Gen Core Services. And this episode, along with all the others, can be heard 24/7 on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, your favorite podcasting app, and withinthetrenches.net. Have a good one, everybody. Everybody.
You just listened to a Code 7 Network podcast. If you have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to wttpodcast@gmail.com.